I think that's very important, Annalise. What you're bringing out is that Ehud was a man with a diligent purpose. It doesn't say that he found a sword. It doesn't say that he saw something in the wind, he picked it up and figured, let me use it. It's personal exercise, and I think it's a challenge to my own soul and to each of us. How personal are we with the sword? He's able to apply it to himself first because, as you've been pointing out, he knows somewhat of the truth of Gilgal. He has had that exercise in himself. It says he made a sword. That required work, diligence, determination. I've got a work to do, and I need the right tool in hand to do it. So it was deep exercise about his personal condition, about the condition of the nation of Israel, and about how Jehovah would handle it. And he was prepared to be the vessel in the hand of the Lord to be used.
So we need some practical help here, because I hate those flocks. They just always kind of defeat us.
Yes.
But because I don't wanna miss Shamgar. So I need a practical help here in regard to the two-edged sword. We know what it is, the word of God. Now help me out. I have in me a desire that is the flesh that like to do things that you all know. And I learn from the word of God that I need to deal with that. And I need to make a sword. And the sword is the word of God. So God, help me out now. How do I do that when I leave here today? How do I use the word of God to kind of deal with the flesh that's inside of me? And how do I do that? I mean, yes, read your Bible. How do I do that? And why it is important? So I need some really help from young people, because we experience these things, all of us. Help me out. How do I use the word of God? Like how? I mean, yeah, I read my Bible every now and then. But how? How I do have, like, make a sword for myself? I need some help here.
It's interesting with the Israelites. They're never told to go into the land of Moab and to attack the Moabites. In Deuteronomy 2, we're 2 verse 8 and 9, they're told, and we turned and went into the direction of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for possession. So when it comes to us in the flesh, we're never told to go and rile up the flesh and to attack it in battle. But we see that when the flesh comes and attacks us, when they come into the land, when they come into our Jericho, our place of rest, that's when we apply the two-edged dagger. That's when we apply the word of God to defend ourselves. We're never told, though, to go and rile up the flesh and to attack it, though.
Good. How to apply the word of God? Help me out with that. I want it to be very practical. Give me something to help me out, because that's absolutely true. How to do that?
If you were to think about why you do things throughout your day, it's either because you want to or because you have to. Okay. Now, in Colossians, after it talks about circumcision, the spiritual circumcision, the putting away of the body of sin, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Kevin.
Now,
tell us again, what verses are you reading?
Colossians 3.
Write that down.
Verses 1 through 3.
Sorry, buddy.
That's okay. I get interrupted all day. Now,
why don't you get right up on it?
The flesh, most of the time, produces some sort of desire in you. And so oftentimes you find yourself doing something you want to do, you feel you want to do, but that you know is wrong. You can read Romans 7, and Paul explains that too. But yet, oftentimes we find that what we know we should do, we don't want to do. I don't want to read my Bible. I want to do this instead. I don't want to get out of bed. My parents told me to get up. I don't want to. I'm tired. I was up till 3 o'clock doing whatever. I want to stay in bed. I don't want to go to Tuesday night meeting, Wednesday night meeting, because I have something else to do, or I can work overtime, if we're working. All of these things are natural, and they happen to each one of us at some point. But if you, with action and spirit and purpose, do what is said in chapter 3 of Colossians, seek those things which are above. So first of all, it's doing something that you may not want to do. You may not have some sort of internal desire connected with the flesh, but yet you know it's right because you were taught it's right, and the Spirit which is in you, the Holy Spirit, is telling you it's right. And so you can think about this. There's a point in your life where you have to get a job. I don't know many people who want to, but you have to do it. And when you first start this job, it may not be fun. You seek the job. You seek it because you need it. And then what happens? Verse 2, set your affection on things above. So first you seek the job, then you have to start realizing that, well, if I'm going to do this job for the next 20 years, I better start thinking about how I can enjoy it. How can I do it well? What do I have to do to be successful? And so first you seek out the things that are above, and then set your affections on them. Look, these are purposeful things. Paul doesn't say, you're going to want to seek, and when you seek, it's going to feel good and you'll have all this affection. No, he's telling you what to do. And then the result is the realization that you are dead to the world. And all of your life, everything that should matter to you, everything that should be important to you, even then, eventually, your desires will be linked up with Christ. And so the flesh is put at bay. And what happens is you're feeding the Spirit now. And so now, you know what? My job's not so bad. I can get out of bed to go to work. You know what? I didn't want to read my Bible, but now that I read it, I realize it's adding something to my life. It's like food. It's pleasant. It's sweeter than the honey. And so you start to do it because you want to. And so I think one of the answers is, do it because you know it's right, and stick at it. Actively look. Think about looking up to the Lord Jesus and pour all of yourself out to Him, and He will give you that desire that you may be lacking right now.
I'm also wondering if we could add one other piece to this, what Kevin is saying. The matter of the consciousness of the presence of the Lord with me every moment of the day. I believe that as believers we've lost a sense of that. And because I've lost the sense of His presence, I could do anything, anytime. Because I don't remember that I come under His governing eye. I work with a lot of patients who are experiencing, and particularly men who suffer from pornography and have to work constantly with situations like that. And one of the things I remind, and these are believers, I remind them of, is the importance of the consciousness of the presence of God. His word as that two-edged sword, I'm very conscious of it. I am to take it into every circumstance that I do. So if I'm going down the road and I see a billboard with a half-naked woman, what do? I stop the car and I feed on it? No. I turn away, I own to it, and I keep going. What happens when I want to turn on the television screen or the computer screen and make believe that I'm only going to look at my emails and things like that, and then I find myself migrating into other things? What do? I make myself conscious of the presence of the Lord. I believe that's part of the active use of the two-edged sword. Also, in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, you get the thought there about not grieving the Holy Spirit by which you have been sealed. What does that mean? That whatever I do, if I'm not conscious that the Spirit is with me, and I take myself into circumstances that are dishonoring, I am taking the Holy Spirit there, and what is He doing? He sits there with me, and He sees the evil, and He's hurt. Divine persons are hurt. I believe it's this sensitivity that is lacking with us, We are not aware of his constant presence. We don't bring him into all of our circumstances. That's godliness. Bringing him into my circumstances. If I do that, I believe I will do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. I'll be always bearing about in my body the dying of Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in my body. And I believe that these are very practical things that we have to be very conscious of in order to apply effectively the two-edged sword.
Very good. Again, that's... Sorry, somebody.